I know that you were missing basketball, even though it's only been a week since the NBA season ended. Well, we have your fix right here on Drew League Weekly coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So, like, kind of low-key special request to bring us in.
Yes.
Travis Scott, setting the mood.
Yes, I like it.
A mood of ambition, right? Something.
If that's what you want to call it.
You are checking out the Drew League Weekly here on AfterBuzz Sports. You know, we started the AfterBuzz Sports thing this season with football and basketball and the NBA playoffs. So now we're continuing it this summer with a special little ditty over the summer with the best pro-am league in the country, the only place where you can see high school, college, and pro athletes on the same floor, the Drew League, and it takes place right here in Los Angeles, California. I'm Jill Monroe, and you know me from AfterBuzz TV. I'm sorry, I'm like all into some conversations that we had earlier. I can't wait to talk sports. I'm not alone, as you can see, because obviously I have jokes. I'm here with Josh Rodriguez and D'Angelo. Hey, what up, y'all?
What's going on, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Also, download the Anchor app. You can follow my station, my sports talk radio station called 10 Minute Drill in the sports section. We're featured. Follow us and listen every day.
Yes, D'Angelo. That podcast is popping, but you guys can hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, D'Angelo TV on Twitter, and D'Angelo on Instagram.
All right, and we also have a special guest with us
studio. He already cracking jokes, so he's good with me.
The 2016 Drew League Coach of the Year, Mr. Keon Kendrick. We got to give it up. Give it up.
Yes. Thank you.
Coach of Redemption.
And
LA Loop. Okay.
We
so we're going to talk about them. Follow me at Stiletto Jill.
Oh, how could you forget that?
Easy. It happens sometimes.
So
all right. So, as I said, the Drew League is the only place in the country where you can see the top players all on the same floor at the same time. It's the only place sanctioned for that. It's been around in LA since 1973. So, yes, 40 something years. Longer than most people in this room have been alive.
Well.
And,
It brought
local kids, streetball legends, and professional stars together. So every summer, tons of pro stars come out and hit the floor, and we're going to cover it because we thought that you need a fix in between the season.
I need a fix.
Even though there's a lot going on, we're going to talk about the offseason, too, and get into all of that.
And it's good basketball.
It's great basketball. So it's down at King Drew High School in Watts, California.
East side.
All right, so last weekend we went to game. It's week four of the Drew League, and our game of the week was hometown favorites, which we feature NBA free agent Darrell Wright. He hit 25 in the first quarter, 42, lit Keon's team up last weekend.
Week three. Personally, you living in the past.
Should we bring him in a torture like that?
We just had to mention these things against the Bulldogs.
He was the player going into that. Right?
Yeah,
was
that's why was this was our game of the week.
42.
He was hot. 42. So, briefly, we're going to recap the game a little bit. So, hometown favorites went on an 11-0. No, the Bulldogs went on an 11-0. Hometown favorites led the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but the Bulldogs came back. They had a little bit of ambition in them. Was it the third quarter? They went on an 11-0 run.
Full court press, turnovers.
Lots of things. We don't have all the highlights from it this week. Don't worry. That's something that we got for you coming up. But just know that it was an exciting matchup, and the player of the game was James Wright. And D'Angelo had a chance to talk to him about the game, get a little bit of information about him, and so that you can kind of start getting a feel for the players in the Drew League and understand why this is the best pro-am in the country. Check it out. It's coming up now.
Coming.
In the meantime, just so you know, the actual player of the game for the Drew League, this is our choice for player of the game. It might differ from who the Drew picks, but this is our selection, was Tyrone Big 50 Riley with 17 points, 13 rebounds.
He was not shot.
They took a picture of Moochie after the game, did they not?
They did.
All right, so who was the player of the game?
The player of the game was James Wright.
It was. Was it not James Wright?
Yeah. So...
It was.
Josh will tell you why after the segment.
You got your feelings about him. He's the face, though. He got a lot of personality.
A lot of personality was on the floor killing, but Josh had a problem with his game on Saturday.
Not a problem, I'm throwing him under the bus.
Just, you know, we'll talk about it. First, let's talk to James.
Let's get to the interview.
All right, so we're here with James right after his team got the victory against the hometown favorites. Your Bulldogs got the win, 12 points, 6 assists. How you feel about your game today?
Oh, I feel good, man. First time out, well, second time out, was out on vacation with the family. And, man, I wanted to win, man.
What's the experience been like for you since it's your first time?
Oh, man, it was good. You know, about to be 36 in 2 weeks. Man, it's a good experience. Good to come out and play with the young guys, man, and mix it up, compete.
Your team is fiery.
Yeah.
Y'all got some talkers on the court.
Yeah, for
what,
sure.
What's it do for you guys' chemistry?
I think it kind of, you know, it lights a fire under us. You know, it could be too much sometimes, but, you know, they play with their heart on their shoulders.
And then so Darrell Wright was on the other side, and he's been killing it, dropping 42-40. Well, did you guys do anything to try to make him struggle a little bit?
Because
he didn't have an off game a little bit.
I mean, with players like him, man, players that's real aggressive, you got to just, you know, really take his name out of it, you know, the part of him being in the NBA, and just do the best you can. You know, stay on your feet, stay on the ground, and just stay focused.
And it felt like you had a really even game, but for people who haven't seen you, who's James Wright? What's your game like?
Oh, man, just hard work. Hard work on compete, man, play with my heart, you know, have fun, smile, and play like it's my last day.
Congratulations on the win, and thanks for coming over, bro.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, James Wright, he was very even. Like, his game was very even. I think that's why we liked it.
Smooth.
Yeah, he didn't overdo it at all. And he was the floor general. He was a leader on the court, despite the fact that he didn't put the most shots up. And I think that's what I learned from his game this
past
weekend.
Helped them out in the last quarters. He was sort of the catalyst to that comeback. So I appreciated him. Yeah. So really quick, Josh.
Yeah, what's up?
So why don't you share the interesting observation you made about Big 50?
All right, Big 50, very talented guy. You can tell he can move. You can tell he's athletic for his size. My problem with him is he just kept on shooting threes and just kept on shooting threes. And you can tell that no one on that court could stop him if he just stood in the paint and got the ball and went up.
He killed it on the boards,
but he just wants to stay outside and shoot threes. I think he hit two. But we were counting. Let's not pretend it was just me.
We were counting all three of us. Yeah, we all got into it.
It was not, and he just kept missing threes. And I was like, man, no one can guard you down low. And this is actually a compliment. I'm not trying to insult the man's game. But
absolutely
no one
not.
Can guard him down low in that game in particular. Take the ball inside and score.
Yeah.
So it was kind of drive me crazy.
Got a question.
Let's get it. We got
watching 50 play.
Yes.
Did you see his stature?
Yes.
So how long do you think he would have survived that game?
He played a lot of minutes,
he's
going
to play the entire game.
Yeah.
He's the best player. He's what they call the pride of the East Side.
So you can tell.
You can tell.
This is a logistical matter.
Now, you tell me. You tell me.
This is a practical, logistical matter.
Now, this is just me for watching him for the first time. You tell me what his game is like. Can he hit that outside shot consistently?
Of course. He's a shooter.
So he was just off.
I mean, he hit a few shots against us. We played him week 1.
Yeah.
He finished the game with 26. He took 25 shots.
Wow.
And players like that are volume shooters. He's going to take a lot of shots.
This is a team that has Chris Copeland, generally speaking, so he's not going to get as many shots going forward, but maybe he just got, you know,
I don't mind him taking shots, but I think he was the biggest guy on the court.
Yeah.
You can tell he's athletic. You can tell he has moves. Go down low.
He got that J.R. Smith inside of him, man. You shoot yourself out of a slump.
Is that sort of is that sort of, you know, part of, because the new NBA, the new style anyways, everybody has to have a 3-point shot. Do you see that reflected down in some place like the Drew League?
Mm. Of course. I mean, the nature of the game has changed. The traditional big men are gone. Everybody's a tweener, which years ago, tweener was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now being 6'7 and being able to play outside and inside actually benefits you. So guys like 50 who are 6'7, 250 pounds, who can't really get to the rim and be athletic, has to step outside and make threes.
Yep.
Well, so shouts out to Big 50. We love you. You know, maybe you'll come on and be a guest.
Top watching them building.
So week 4's player of the week was Jordan Hamilton. He is also a former pro player. Get back. Somebody that Keon is trained, has known since high school.
Yes.
He went to Texas, right?
He went to Dominguez High School.
He went to college. Where did he go to college?
Texas.
right now, he's playing with Footprint. He's the oldest of the Hamilton brothers. He's the second oldest.
Gary Hamilton is the oldest.
Oh. Okay, Gary Hamilton.
Lurch.
So see, when it's 4 of them, right? Lurch.
Yes,
Okay, so it's 4 of the Hamilton brothers all balling, all participating in the Drew League. That's one thing you guys know about the Drew League. It's very much a family affair, which we'll talk about in a second. But before we get to that, we want to show you the highlights from week 4 at the Drew League. So check them out, courtesy of Sam and the Drew League. We're going to pull those up. Footprint is the team that Jordan Hamilton played for, going back for a second. They beat No Schnecks.
No snacks.
88-78.
How did people come up with these names? How did you come up with your name, Redemption?
I got my name because I was tired of not winning the title.
Okay.
And every year I go into it upset. So this is like my redemption year.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
So that sounds good to me.
And your nickname was Gatekeeper?
Gatekeeper.
Explain that to me. What's that about?
Of Los Angeles basketball, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so explain it a little bit while we're waiting for the highlights really quickly. Why are you the gatekeeper of Los Angeles basketball?
I believe because I have so much access to all the basketball players. Guys my age, guys older, and even the younger guys coming up. Having access to the Drew, playing in it since I was in high school, coaching in the Drew now for my seventh summer. And having a project called Air West, which you've covered before and we'll talk about later.
Nice.
I just have the biggest database of basketball players in Los Angeles. Regardless of what you're doing in LA, you pretty much have to go through me.
Got to come through. All right, we're going to check out week four highlights so you guys can take a look, kind of get the essence and vibe, see how many current stars in the NBA you can spot. I think maybe three in this video.
It's going to get popping in July, though.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes. That little voice of God that you hear, that's the booth. That's
they do all the dirty work, man.
Yeah, take care of it. I think I saw Rapper the Game there. It's his team, Birdie's Revenge, right?
Damn. Austin Mills, former Pepperdine guy.
Oh, look at that.
That's cool. That's really cool right there.
Oh, look at me. Coach Al.
Good pass.
Houdini's problems. Good team. Bigelow the Swag Channel. Sean Stevens.
Look at that. You know there's so many dunks. It's ridiculous.
DJ Young Free.
Music always popping.
You see how far it is.
Nitty, a.k.a. Megadeth.
He was also one of the players of the week. Not the player, but one of them.
Oh, Stephon Branch.
Damn.
Out of West Georgia. Oh, that's my team. Chuck Garcia. Kiss my Chucks. CG2.
Wow. Shout out to Nike, by the way, for branding the Drew League. I love the way they branded this league. I love the logo. I love the banners in the gym. I love the paint. Everything about it is dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nike.
So, Keon, as the gatekeeper of Los Angeles and seven summers in the Drew League since high school, one question that we know somebody on the panel has, tell you who it doesn't, how does someone get to play in the Drew League? How does that happen?
You got to know the right people.
You got to know that's what it is. You got to know the right people. You don't have
to get
invited. Is there a pedigree? Like, is there a process? What does someone have to do?
I wouldn't say there's a process. The one thing about the LA basketball market is very tight-knit, you know, and we know all the talent. And if you're up and coming and you're special, we'll find you. And if you're not from here, once you get here, you may have to find us. Mm-hmm. So guys that are coming out here from different states want to play in the Drew League because they hear about it, they read about it, and they want to get involved. It's not that easy to get in the Drew League. You know, the Drew League is so important to the people from Los Angeles because your first game helps determine if you make it to the playoffs. So we don't have time to just like, oh, put on a uniform and have fun. This means something to us.
So what are you guys playing for? I know that you're playing for Pride, obviously. Since Nike's involvement is their monetary compensation, what is the gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak?
Bragging rights. You know, no compensation because college players in the NBA won't be able to play. But you're playing for that street cred, that to walk away from this in September through December and be able to say, yeah, I want a Drew League, and you're going to be blasted over to social media, and then you're going to walk into the next summer with special shoes and jackets that let everybody know you were the champs, and then to have your banner hanging in that gym is a special feeling.
Swag bag. So damn, you even get your banner hanging from the rafters. That's hot.
It's dope.
For you, obviously you're coach of the year, but this year, who's the teams to look out for guys looking at the Drew League this year?
Redemption.
The teams that you have to worry about. The Drew League has always been top heavy, so you know what your good teams are going to be year in and year out since I've been involved as a coach. So you got to worry about teams in one bracket. Houdini's problems, they're undefeated. Birdie's Revenge is undefeated. My second team is 3-1. Redemption is 3-1. Footprints is 3-1. So there's a lot of tough teams. You have the Blazers. You have LA Unified. When all those guys come back, when all the NBA players can play, MHP, when Nick Young and DeMar DeRozan can play, Darrell Wright's team, hometown favorites, when rumored is Russell Westbrook is playing this summer.
Get out of here.
We got a lot of potential stars coming in.
It's tough. Yeah. It's a tough league. Regardless if you're 0-8, like Jug Life, JaVale McGee's team, they struggle early in the season, but after July 1st, they get loaded real fast. And
July 1st is next Saturday.
That's what gets popping, yes, guys. Y'all got to get down there now. The line's going to be long.
So, really quick, speaking of, since we're going to go back, we have one to watch. So, obviously, this weekend was Father's Day weekend, and the Drew League is a legacy league where you see fathers and sons, brothers, all playing together. So, this weekend, Meta World Peace, the former Ron Artest. I still call him Ron Artest.
Yeah,
you guys
too.
Still call him Ron Artest? Okay, we still call him. I mean, you know, wasn't he Panda for a second? You know, like, we're just going to roll. Panda is the name of his Drew League team. Okay, so there you go. Well, his son also plays with him, Ron Artest III. And this season, Ron Artest, you heard a lot about him. He went to Beverly Hills High School. There were some matchups against Shaq's son, who played for Crossroads. You know, a little crosstown NBA daddy rivalry thing going on. Now, Ron Artest III hasn't been picked up yet for a school, but he's still out there available. But there was a special moment this weekend, guys. We had his dad. He caught a lob from his dad in the middle of the game on Father's Day. How often do you hear about something like that where you can see an NBA player, a future prospect, you know, lobbing off to each other and they just happen to be father and son? So we do have that for you. It's coming up in 1 second. That's another father and son that we're going to talk about that's going to break Josh's heart. That would be Russell Westbrook. I think that's it. Oh, guys, we're going to get this together. That's actually Keon's team, so we can roll with this. This is redemption. Let's look at Keon's team, light it up on the floor.
Golden child.
Get that. So, Kerry Carter, what do we need to know about him?
He's a special up-and-coming talent out of West Covina.
College, high school?
No, he's a pro. He was player of the year in Germany this past season. Pro B. He's just a special talent. The kid is going to be very, very, very special. With every sense of the word, he's going to be a big-time pro.
What's his best element right now to his game?
He's tough. For a light-skinned kid, he might be the toughest light-skinned player I've ever seen. He just has a knack to score. He's physical.
Skates.
He's athletic. He gets to the rim.
Finishes.
He's one of the best players ever kind of West Coast Vita outside of Jonathan Gibson.
Wow. He has great court vision. Nice shot.
All right, so you see what you guys are missing. But see, never fear. If you're elsewhere, you know where you can come to get all those highlights, to get out all the information from the previous weeks right here, Drew League Weekly, with us. Maybe we're going to check out Ron Artest now. And it's maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe. Anyway, let's talk to you some more, Keon.
Oh.
So you trained. Give me some of the names that people will have heard of.
Guys,
just to impress
with
them real quick.
James Harden, Kevin Durant, Victor Oladipo.
Nice.
I've been involved in NBA pre-draft for 5 years now, so there's some up-and-coming guys, the names you'll hear called Thursday. TJ Leaf, Ike Abogunogu, Devin Robinson, Jordan Bell, guys like that. So I've worked with a lot of the Los Angeles area, a lot of the LA pros. Some of our familiar names, Bobby Brown, Pooh Jenner, Marcus Williams, Brandon Heave, Trevor Ariza, Darrell Wright, guys like that, DeLon, his brother. So I've tried to cover every stone possible in any of the LA players.
How did you develop your reputation as the guy to go to?
That's fine.
I got that reputation because I played.
Yeah, and you played at Dominguez.
A lot of it is just based off respect. When I was a pretty good player, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but
played on the same team with Tyson Chandler, was ranked nationally, had a knee injury that kind of changed the direction of his career. So, I'll toot for you. That's what we're here for. Toot a little bit.
It's just a respect thing. You know, guys know when you're teaching them or telling them how to play the game, it has to come from a person that's been through it.
Right.
And I've been through it at every level. Outside of the NBA, I've been through it. So they're able to relate to me.
As a guy.
Within my peer age as well. So it's a guy that a few years older than you is telling you, hey, I saw this overseas, or I know how this looks when you get to the NBA.
As a guy who had a lot of uncontrollable factors in regards to your injury history, is there a wisdom you can share to the players going forward to avoid a situation like that? Is that kind of just some part of the game?
Don't overtrain. That's the one thing I teach a lot of my guys. You know, we we hear this constantly, stay in the gym, work out. But, you know, take it from me, you need rest. You know, sleep is very, very important. And a lot of guys have to, you know, stay away from the negative parts of the game. You know, stop going clubbing and smoking and drinking, like that stuff. Your body will never forget what you do to it. So if you're playing at this level, the elite level, you need to become elite in off-the-court things, eating, sleeping, massages, yoga, those type of things. You have to be an elite player throughout your entire life.
Do you change up? I know, obviously, you change up the changing, the training regimen based on the player that you're dealing with, but do you also change it up depending upon where they are in their career? Someone coming into the draft, what are some of the main differences between someone that's just coming in, sort of just starting out on the professional level, and maybe someone that's a vet that's trying to refine parts of their game or come back and add something to it because they're sort of being displaced currently?
My first NBA pro would be a great example of this. I trained Flip Murray. Ron Flip Murray played in the NBA for about 9 or 10 years, and he was on a decline and trying to get back into the NBA. And a lot of that was just trying to get him in shape, you know, get him in the best shape of his life and helping him understand the little parts of the game that were changing versus when I have these pre-draft kids, these guys that are fresh out of college who have 8 weeks to get ready to change their entire life. And a lot of that is helping them understand the language of the game. You know, it changes from college where everything's a system. And in the NBA, it's a lot about individuality, being able to just get the ball and make it happen, or knowing where to be on the floor, because the vets in the NBA are not going to tell you. You know, we don't have to hand feed you and hold your hand through it. Like, this is the NBA. We're getting paid to play. Do your job or you get replaced.
Do you feel like the high school guys who come to the Drew League, is there a step above that they have to meet? Or these guys, some of these guys who are about to go to D1 teams and stuff like that, do you feel like the atmosphere from game to game prepares them a little bit more than maybe they would have been if they didn't do it that summer?
Not necessarily the atmosphere, but more the physicality of the game. You know, being able to go into a gym and see someone 27, 28 who is physically developed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the luxury a lot of these kids have and some don't. You know, we got a chance to see Lonzo Ball coming out of high school into the Drew League with a thin frame. And if you look at his scouting report going into the NBA, the first thing they say is his weakness is his body. So 1 year removed from college, he's still small in terms of the NBA game.
Yep.
So you have guys like Stanley Johnson, who walked into the Drew League and was ready professionally out the door. So it's like, you know, that's the one thing. You know, I've seen guys like Cody Riley. I've seen Marvin Bagley. These kids are getting bigger, you know, and that's going to be the one thing that saves them going forward.
All right. So, with that, we're going to get into a little NBA off-season news. We have some things to talk about that
are
going to...
Poppin' today.
It is so poppin'. Can you believe the season's only been over a week and so much activity? The dominoes are falling from the Golden State Warriors winning the title. Before we get into that fully, though, Josh, as a Knicks fan... Did you see Melo on Father's Day out there with him and his son? So we have another little Father's Day ditty. It was Melo going shot for shot with his son, Cayenne, on the court. Hoodie Melo out there.
Yeah, Father's Day Melo's been working hard this offseason.
We know he can shoot.
We know he can shoot. There he goes, shot for shot with his son, getting it in there. So how do you feel that there's talk, you know, Phil Jackson may buy him out? Porzingis, maybe on the trading block.
I'm more concerned with the Porzingis talk. I mean, you need to build for the future. You're getting rid of the one building block that we have. It's ridiculous. I know he offered the Suns Porzingis for Devin Booker and Suns their first round draft pick, which would be the fourth pick in the draft this year. I actually wouldn't mind that because Devin Booker is someone you can build around. But I don't know. Fire Phil. Don't get me started.
Do you think that the thing with Porzingis is really more so about him not closing off from Phil and Phil kind of making a little power play like, hey, remember, I still control your destiny?
Yeah, he doesn't like Phil Jackson. Mm-mm. No one in that organization likes Phil Jackson. Yeah. They don't want to be around Phil Jackson. Dolan needs to fire Phil Jackson. That's basically where I'm getting at right
Josh,
now.
Let me help you out here. Let me give you some inside information.
Oh, here we go. We like having the insiders in there.
On how this works when you're looking at NBA marketing, when you're looking at NBA salaries. The reason the Knicks would get rid of any potential building block as like a Porzingis is to make Carmelo get out of his trade clause. Mm. If you get rid of the one player that makes you good,
you're going to go to that extent.
That's as far as you have to go. Why would you get rid of a part? You drafted him early. Mm-hmm. He's a lottery guy, and he's a top five player in his position, top 10 at the least. If you get rid of him, what are you telling Carmelo? I'm not going to give you any help. I'm not going to bring any players over here, so opt out.
But
not actually opt out.
I feel like Carmelo already knows that, though, don't you think?
But he's stubborn. He's stubborn. They're telling you, we don't want you here. And Carmelo's still here.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'll just get rid of all the good players.
And you think he'd waive his no-trade clause to anybody?
Would you rather play the entire season? Mind you, Melo's my age. We're same class.
Right.
USA teammates. Carmelo is in the latter part of his career. Like, you're about time to get a ring, start ring chasing. You know, you've been an elite superstar in this league for many years. It's time to kind of play the second fiddle.
What LeBron, do you think it's a good CP3 and
that's not happening.
Melo to the Clippers. Yeah.
What do you think is a good situation for Melo? What do you think is like an actual championship situation for
him? If he's taking a pay cut, go to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, but depends on which Melo we're talking to. You know, the one that's about to get divorced and needs the money, or
hey, I mean, let's be real.
Just, so I'm saying, like, it depends on which Melo you're talking to, because he's going to take a significant pay cut to play for any other team outside of the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that logic. I just don't think cutting ties with KP is worth it. To be honest with you, we need building blocks. Knicks have nothing right now. We really have nothing except KP.
You haven't noticed
nothing.
Oh, well, in Lakerland, there's news. There's hope in Lakerland.
I've been traded to the Lakers.
You guys haven't heard. D'Angelo Russell, I've got ice water in my vein.
In Brooklyn.
And a phone in my other hand. Will now be taking his show on the road to Brooklyn along with Mozgov. Bye there. Bye. See you later. For Brooke Lopez and his one-year rental contract to make room for, who Lonzo. Knows, in the
Man,
summer of 2018.
It's a great move.
You know, a lot of moves took place today ahead of the draft. Everybody is trying to figure out ways to contend with Golden State. Cleveland, as we know, fired their GM. Seems really foolish. LeBron doesn't seem happy. LeBron to L.A. in 2018.
Not happening. Get over it.
Yes. It's going to happen.
You say
really
L.A., you
mad.
Say the Clippers.
It could be the Clippers or the Lakers.
He's not
the Lakers
coming to L.A.
Room, but it's more
LA.
Likely the Clippers. Watch, Jerry West is here. There's a lot of magic that can happen. DeAndre Jordan is reportedly on the trading block for the Clippers. There are lots of things that can happen, you know?
Yep.
Look at how much activity is taken. Dwight Howard was moved to Charlotte. He and his newly developed three-point shot.
Oh,
in
man.
Tight shirt and hat.
Let's not throw Dwight under the bus anymore.
We didn't throw him under the bus. A week and a half ago, he said that he's working, you know, it's a new NBA. There are no players that play with their backs to the basket. It's what, him? Does Boogie play with his back to the basket?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. You know, so it's really just him.
Towns.
No.
But he can do it all.
Cat stays on the perimeter.
Yeah.
You know, so Dwight is trying to extend his shelf life in the NBA. He's heading into, what, season 14 now? This was season 13 that wrapped up. So he said he wanted to develop a three-point shot. Yes, it is.
It's not
2004.
Happening.
Well, he got that contract now. He's good.
And he has that contract in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, back to the Lakers really quick. Shout out to Magic Johnson, because that's a really good deal.
Yes, it is. My personal
gun. Is that a good deal?
It's a great deal. You get Brooke Lopez for a year. He's a solid basketball player.
I'm too high on D'Angelo Russell. That's what it is.
D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he's been in the league, what, 3 years now? 2 years now?
As a person who's had to watch John Wall develop, it took a long time. It takes more than 3 years.
He's a Wizards fan.
I'm just saying, it takes a minute for guys to develop his game. You're saying there's nothing there for D'Angelo Russell?
John Wall had the it factor.
No, I'm not saying.
Right, D'Angelo don't have it.
I'm not saying. Okay, so you're saying there's nothing there. That's it.
No, it's something there. It's just not there for LA.
Okay.
He needs
Lonzo.
A restart.
Is he going to be upgraded?
Hold on, you don't want Lonzo to go to the Lakers? You don't think that's a good fit for him?
I don't. I'm not as sold on Lonzo as the world is, and nothing to do with his father.
No, yeah.
It's just from a statistical and a analytical view. You know, if you break his game down, it doesn't translate so much into the NBA.
In what way?
He doesn't. If you look at his college stats, he shot 27 mid-range jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, mind you, as a trainer and a coach, I have to watch over. I have to look at these things. So, in the NBA, when you're talking screen and rolls, when you look at the guys like Chris Paul, when you look at Russell Westbrook, there's a gray area between the three-point line and the layup.
Yeah.
And he cannot make that shot.
Okay.
He struggles at it. He doesn't even take it. So, if you want to look at his game, he becomes your modern-day Rajon Rondo, which, when he was with the Celtics, hurt them. People are backing off under the free throw line, force you to take that shot.
But do you think it's something that he can learn to develop and primarily be a distributor on a team that right now kind of has a lot of shooters, and I'm sure they're going to add more to it with the Lakers?
Sentences-wise, the Lakers don't have any shooters.
Well,
Russell was one of the shooters.
He was like,
right, he's gone. But I think going back to really quickly about him moving, I think that he needs a fresh start. I think that that cell phone video was a killer. No, really.
Well, I mean, that's got to kill the locker room.
A locker room killer. You've had players on other teams come out and say, hey, I'm sure he's a cool guy, talented, but I wouldn't want him on my team.
No,
you know, he just needs to go. I feel that he will be in a better environment. There have been questions about his work ethic, if maybe he's a little entitled. So I think that those things are hard. You come into L.A., he came in with Byron Scott, who doesn't like rookies anyway, and is obviously going to go harder on him. I just think that a fresh start might do him well in order to develop his game where some people think that it could be.
Good luck in Brooklyn.
That's a bad place to
have good luck in Brooklyn, man.
Yeah.
That is a mess.
It's a bad place. It's a dying field.
Yeah.
You know, players go to Brooklyn, they retire.
They do.
So...
But the Lakers hasn't exactly been a winning franchise.
But it's LA. You have the resources. You have Magic Johnson there who's willing to make moves. I mean, Paul George is going to be a Laker. He's basically said, I'm going to be a Laker.
I mean, the Lakers are my team. I'm not saying anything like that. Yeah. I'm just saying, I think for D'Angelo, though, his time in LA was up.
I agree.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, so who would you take as for the second pick?
You got to look at what your needs are, you know, and long-term needs. I'm not sure. I think Lonzo's a great player. I think he's exceptional. But in terms of what the Lakers need, I don't think you need a guy that can control the floor. Like, he reminds Magic so much of himself. But that era is so over.
Yeah, yeah.
The guards in this NBA now can score.
Yeah, they do everything.
And I don't know, based on what I've seen, mind you, he has years to grow. Based on what I've seen, I don't know if he can come in and be that dynamic of a guy. Is he coming to change the Lakers, or do you give him the same window you gave Russell? Because when you drafted Russell at number two, it was the same exact thing.
Yeah.
He's a floor general. He's a bigger guard. He's actually a better shooter. Lonzo may be more athletic. He does kind of all the little intangible things. And look what you got out of Russell.
But do you think Lonzo is a better leader and will motivate the team around him more so? Because I think that was another piece with Russell that they kind of felt was lacking. He wasn't, you know, inspiring the team in any way. He wasn't seen to be a leader. And I know this is random, but if you follow him on his Insta stories or Snapchat, this season he seemed really aloof from the rest of the team. Like, he didn't seem to be as locked in when they would be doing little group stuff. And I know that's such a small thing, but I think those things are telling. It goes to chemistry, which you see the direct effects of that on the court.
Yeah.
So. It'll take time. I mean, we'll see. We'll see after Thursday. All right.
So, draft order switched up. Any predictions? You guys, any surprise thoughts? What do you think your team's going to do?
We don't have a pick to the second round. Markelle Fultz is going to go first. That's my prediction.
DMV.
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing in the draft.
I'm just hoping Phil doesn't mess this up.
I mean, what are you guys picking, eighth?
Yeah, we're eighth. I'm hoping to get
Dennis Smith Jr.
Dennis Smith. That's who I want from North Carolina State.
Tell us why.
Well, because he's a freak athlete.
You just have to be best available.
I mean, at that point, who are we going to take?
Tell me about
the kid from Arizona.
Mackin.
I don't want him. He's a poor man. I don't even like him, to be honest with you. Yeah.
How do you feel about Markelle? I mean, I feel like because Washington was so bad, we obviously didn't get to see him on the platform. But I've heard James Harden comparisons, Russell Westbrook comparisons. What do you feel about his game?
I mean, I've heard in our inner circles closer to Damian Lillard.
Okay.
He fits the NBA game. He can score.
Yeah.
He has a plethora of ways to score. You know, he's a decent outside shooter. He can get to the lane. He has floaters. He's athletic. He can get to the rim. Decent size. You know, he's what the NBA is now. Looking like it.
So we can expect numbers from him this season, you think?
I mean, you expect the same thing when the Nuggets drafted Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys that can fill it up, but it takes time, it takes the right situation, and it takes they have to have it in them. There has to be something internal that only they know if they can reach that plateau or that peak of excellence where it's like, I'm gonna do this every night. And in college you play 30 games, no more than 35. That's two college seasons in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
82 games.
Mm-hmm.
So what about De'Aaron Fox? No one's mentioned him.
He can't shoot.
The Lakers, yeah.
He does everything.
He's really athletic.
He can't shoot, man.
He's like a consistent shooter.
He shot like 20-something percent from three-point range. He can't really shoot a mid-range. I mean, he can get to the...
Consistent. You know what I'm saying? He's not a consistent shooter.
He's a wall comparison, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's
a John Wall comparison.
Yeah. So he needs...
Same thing John Wall. Couldn't shoot. And his last 2 years, his percentages are going up.
And in Dad Wars, you know, Darren's father, Aaron, had a shout out to Lonzo Ball. He's like, my son already ate his ass up twice when the two played. I'm sorry. He had a shout out about Lonzo to LeVar. So, you know, he's like, LeVar can say what he wants. I just want to tell him to go back and watch the film. That's all. All the yip yapping. Shut it down. You know, so dad's talking trash going into the NBA draft. I like it. I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm not okay with those shoes, but that's another day. Do you know? Because you can't sit up there and sell a $490 shoe and say it's a performance shoe, not a lifestyle shoe, because lifestyle shoes don't necessarily have a price that lines up with it. But a performance shoe that nobody's tried, that you can't return, you don't know what the toe box is, you don't know what type of ankle support has, all of that is important in a shoe that you want people to wear on court.
Preach, Jill. Preach.
So, I just wanted to get that out there. Shout out to a Big Baller Brand, though. Anyway... That's it for our first Drew League show, but AfterBuzz Sports is keeping it going. Thursday, there's the NBA draft recap with Josh. He'll be here.
Yes.
D'Angelo. And then Monday, we're back again with the NBA Awards. We're going to see Russell Westbrook. Hey, let's check out Russell Westbrook hitting his walks real fast. You know he's going to get that MVP award at the NBA Player Award on Monday, regardless as to what Josh thinks. Over the weekend, he was partying, celebrating his little brother Ray.
What's
the
LA folks right here? What's the LA stuff right here?
Where did Go-Go at, though, man?
Did you know?
Look at him.
So shout out to Russell Westbrook.
That's
my MVP.
LA folks are a little
different
out here, man. Y'all a little
check
different.
Out my MVP. Whatever.
That's the most regular clothes I've ever seen.
That might be
maybe
the first.
Saying, maybe he only put on a show when he walk into the games, but he actually wears regular clothes.
Nah, shout out to Russ.
Shout out to the MVP. You know that's what's going to happen. And then Tuesday night, back here for the Drew League Weekly Recap. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Follow us all. I'm Jill Monroe. You can find me at Stiletto Jill. Josh, where they can find you?
I'm Josh Rodriguez. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Download the Anchor app. Follow 10 Minute Drill in the sports section. Me and AJ Kelly do a sports podcast every week, and we take phone calls, all that
hot
good
takes,
stuff.
Hot takes.
Also, let us know what you think should be on the Drew Weekly show. And we'll cover it.
Yeah, yo, thanks for joining us again, guys. Look, we're gonna have plenty of interviews that we're gonna give to you guys for you guys to see next week. In addition, we're gonna have a fashion fan of the week. So if you go to the Drew Weekly. Dress well, because we're going to try to put you on the show. We're going to give y'all some attention.
We're paying attention to your
kicks and your whole look. So bring your A game. Hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm D'Angelo TV on Twitter and at D'Angelo on Instagram.
It's a vibe. And thank you to our special guest, Coach Keon Kenyon. Oh, Air West, the best private run in LA takes place on Wednesdays. Mm. Secret run. Follow Air West on Instagram and Twitter if you want more details about that. Yeah. And make sure you're back here after Buzz Sports checking us out. Checking us out every week. I'm Jill Monroe, and thank you for checking out episode one.
Yo, deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.